For those that are not a part of this particular fellowship, you're in another fellowship, you live in this 40-mile area, you have the same assignment. Everywhere in the world, God is putting together prayer warriors. And the revelation is coming forth that He has assigned areas to groups and given them the assignment of having a prayer responsibility for a particular area to see that the will of God is done. Amen? And God has chosen in His sovereignty to do it this way. How many of you know God did not convene a committee of angels and say, how should I create this universe and how shall I run things? Amen? He did it at the counsel of His own will. And this sovereignty of God thing, the enemy jumping in and messing it up and all that, has led people to believe that everything that happened on earth is because God did it. Or He allowed it. Or whatever. Now, any sane person, if they were looking at the condition of the world today, would say, God's not doing a very good job. But the truth is, God's doing a fine job. It's the body of Christ that's lacking. Amen? However, we're not going to lack. Amen? We're not going to lack. As a matter of fact, we're going to kind of spread through the rest of the body so they get it. Amen? And that's important to understand. And there's a couple of reasons why there's so much difficulty in people developing a prayer life, and that's one of them. Because they believe regardless of what they pray or don't pray, whatever, God's going to do what God wants to do. That actually their prayer has no effect. On the contrary, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person has great results. But where? Here. Amen? If what I'm saying to you is not a fact, if what I'm saying to you is not true, then all of us right now, we need to transfer to heaven. Trust me, it's better. And then every person who gets born again, receive Jesus, Lord and Savior, they need to transfer immediately to heaven. Why hang here? I'll tell you why. Because God's got something for us to do. Amen? He has chosen, okay, to have us be a part of what He's going about doing and accomplishing sovereignly. See? It's so sovereign that when I see some of the great things that God does through us, okay, I'm like, wow, I wouldn't pick me to do that. And some of the things He says, they're outrageous. Like, everybody put their finger right here, okay? I'm going to affect the whole world. I'm a blessing to the whole world. I'm a blessing to the entire earth. I'm a blessing to all nations. Amen. We understand, Lord, that's hard for me. Yeah, it is. But it's not hard for Him. Right? Don't short circuit on me now. Okay? Yes, it's true. That right here from this group, continuing, can bless and affect all the nations. Brothers and sisters, you can't go where you can't see. And you got to see it first. Amen? Took Abraham out and said, look at the stars. Your descendants will be more than that. He didn't even have a child. Amen? Because God wanted him to see it. One of the things that prayer is all about is allowing God to cause you in prayer to see it. To see what he's doing. To see his will. To see it. Amen? When we come to the place where we really understand and know what the prayer is about, it gets exciting. There's nothing tedious about it. You are hobnobbing with Almighty God. Who, when he says something, it's done. And nothing can change it. I'll give you an example. A couple weeks ago, the Lord said to me, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Now, who gets that, right? Golly. Come on, Lord, I already know. It's Paul saying who he's writing to. Right? And I always know George will do it. He'll turn right there. Bless you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Read that verse.
Paul to the apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, Sosthenes, our brother.
Okay. Say, what's that? What's there, Lord? What does that mean when you're reading the Bible and the italicized words show up? It wasn't part of the original text. The translators added it. Right? Now read it and take the to be out.
Paul, called an apostle of Jesus Christ.
Stop. Paul called an apostle. And the Lord spoke to me and said, when I called him an apostle, he was. Yeah, but it was 14 years before he got into apostling. I don't know if that's a word, but you understand. Doesn't matter. 14 years before, God called him an apostle. So he was. God calls you blessed. So you are. That's God. This is God talking to you. This is the God who said, light be, and it's the universe is still expanding on those words. Come on. See? God hasn't called you to be. That isn't how God operates. He doesn't call you to be blessed. He calls you blessed. Now, who am I to argue with that? Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. How about that? Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I like running with the Holy Spirit. He is one neat person. I said, wow, George, God calls you prosperous. Who am I to argue? Who am I to say anything else? I'm going to what? Argue with God about it? God called you healed. Hallelujah. Amen. Who am I to argue with him? Who am I to say something else other than what God has said? Who am I to say anything other than what he has said? Amen. And yet man tries to find a way to do that. I got you. And now that's where God is sovereign. Amen. He's not going to change. George, I made a mistake. You're really not prosperous. He don't do that. Amen. So if he came in here, ladies, and he said to everyone, blonde, you'd all be blonde. Amen. Because what? God can't lie. It's impossible. Because whatever he says is what? True. Amen. So when he told us, decree a thing, and it shall be established, who are we to argue? Does this make sense? Is this the word? Hallelujah. How many remember Jeff and Dawn? 1, 2. Diane, you don't remember? You don't remember Diane?
I remember.
You do remember Diane. They're living out there somewhere where I'm trying to figure out in Pennsylvania. I keep asking them what they're near. It's not near anything I've heard. But they're there. And they blessed us by coming down a couple of days and staying with us. And it has been a blessing. And they don't argue with God. Whatever he says is so. Amen? Amen. Now let's review a second a little bit about intercession and the Hebrew word pagah. If we get to the place where we understand what God wants us to accomplish in praying, where we understand that there is a place that he wants to bring us to, it's more fun. I don't know how to say it any other way, but another reason the difficulty in prayer is that most people are praying just kind of throwing it up there and really don't have an understanding of what God's will and goal is in our praying, more specifically in intercession. And I said this before, we pray for there to be an intercession. That's the word pagah. We want to see a meeting between that unsaved person and Jesus. Because God does not hear the prayers of the unrighteous. Now, every person that hasn't received Jesus as Lord and Savior is what? Unrighteous. Romans chapter 3, no, there's not one righteous, no, not one. Once you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, then what? You're righteous. And he hears your prayer. Because his ears are always open to the righteous. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much, brings much result. Are we all righteous here? Yes. How? By faith. What do you mean by faith? God said, you're righteous. Who am I to argue? Amen? Who am I to change this? Can the creature say to the Creator anything? Romans chapter 9? No. I can't say anything that would enlighten God. I can't say anything that would cause him to think something else. You can go and tell God from now until Jesus comes that you're an unrighteous wretch. He'll never agree with you. Why? Because he said what? You're righteous. And for him to disagree with that would be what? Lying. And if God sinned once, everything would vanish. Because everything is held together by the Word of God. So, I can tell you tonight, God is good on His Word. Proof is, we're here. I went out this morning, it was cold for me, having to adjust. But when I walked out, I thought, yeah, the Word of God's true. As long as the earth remains, there's summer, fall, winter. Yay. We don't ever question that. Why don't we question that? Because we feel it, see it, experience it. But we don't have to feel righteous to know we're righteous. Amen? Why? Paul called an apostle. Us called righteous. That's great. That's shouting ground. Hallelujah. And you know what? I can't really do anything to change that as far as God's concerned. You understand, Lord, I'm going to go out and win a million souls, and I'm going to be more righteous. How can you be more righteous than righteous? You can't. Amen? People struggle where ministry is concerned, unfortunately, and most of you are called to something. I want to say all of you because you all are, but that God has a plan for you. He has assignments for you. He has good works that he's prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. Amen? Okay. But that we tend to struggle with it because we want to turn that into a work and thereby be justified by what we do in ministry. It's the same deal. Been there. Paul was called an apostle. Then he went and did apostle things. Amen? He didn't come back to the Lord and say, am I an apostle yet? I did this, this, and this. The only thing the Lord's going to tell him, Paul, I called you an apostle. Get moving. I used to read it when he would write it. I said, keep saying that after he goes, Paul, an apostle. Paul, Paul, an apostle. Because he knew who he was. Amen? Now, paga, the Hebrew word for intercession, is, and we went over this, this is review, we're praying for a meeting to happen. Amen? Someone's out there captive. Someone's away from the church. They need to be back in. They need to come back. We need to get them out of captivity. We need to see unsaved. You have loved ones who are unsaved. You have loved ones who are in captivity. I think they're saved. How many times I heard that? I think they're saved. Well, why don't we just lock it down? Amen? So you go to prayer, and what you're praying for is, Lord, arrange a meeting. And I had George up here, and I said, this is what Jesus does. Remember? Eric, I think, was up here. Jesus says, Father, this is George. George, this is the Father. Father, he's one of ours. And the Father says, nice to meet you. Welcome to the family. That comes about because somebody, you're sitting here today in the family of God, and God is your Father because somebody prayed for you on this earth. Amen? So we understand one aspect of what the paga is in the praying for. Then I went over the fact that it also involves a meeting or a confrontation with the enemy to break those people free. Amen? How many remember that? Shake your head up and down. Yeah, I got that. All right. So let's move on to one other aspect tonight. And that aspect of it is that the word paga in the Hebrew also has the connotation of boundaries, setting boundaries. It has the connotation of, in our case, talking about the 40-mile radius area, that we're interceding and praying for the kingdom of God to expand to those boundaries, righteousness, peace, and joy. Wouldn't it be great this Christmas season, you went to the mall shopping and everybody was happy, smiling, and there was joy, and there's all that, and not the pushing and the shoving and the cars in the parking lot, and, you know. Huh? That whole glory to God. There's all these people here, and isn't it great? Just a little piece of heaven for a little while. Amen? Would that not be good? Wouldn't that be great? That's doable now in this time. That you can actually go in and have someone there who's working be overjoyed to serve you. Woo! You know, John, you know what you're talking about? Amen? And that you actually come back from going out shopping and whatnot, and you go in to your home and you go, What a blessing that was. Amen? Is that doable? Absolutely. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit ruling and reigning. Now, boundaries. I don't want you to turn there, but if you're up for it, you look at Joshua 19, the word pagaz in there three times, and it's talking about when they were drawing the boundary lines for the different tribes when they'd come into the promised land. They said, you have up to here, and they named the town. And you have up to here, and they named the town. And three times in there is the word paga, which is translated boundary line. The boundary. Why is this important? Because at the same time that you're allowing the kingdom of God through your prayer and intercession to push the boundaries outward, okay, so that the 40-mile area has the boundaries of the kingdom of God has gone out to all these areas, right? Now, at the same time that that happens, all right, you and I are to pray boundary lines of protection. You pray boundary lines of protection over your family, over any area of responsibility and authority that God has given you. Boundary lines of protection over your business. Boundary lines of protection. See, folks, I'm not talking about denying a circumstance. This is not what faith is about. When a person is ill, they're ill. Amen? They're sick. This is not Christian science that denies it's... my arm's not broken. My arm's not broken. Well, you can fool me. It is hurting. Amen? And that's where it becomes perverted. It's not a denial of a circumstance. It's by faith the power of God moves and changes it into the will of God. So when we look around for a moment, we don't want to look too long. When we look around for a moment, we know that what's going on in the life of Christians is not the word of God and not the will of God of what's happening. Right? Children of God, those that are His. Now, what is the reason for this? The reason for this, and this is what's changing and what God's going about doing, is for the body of Christ to get a revelation of this, that whatever's happening is happening because the body of Christ, the church, allows it. We're so busy in ignorant disputes and everything else that Paul says don't get involved in. While that's going on, the enemy is just taking ground, bringing attacks on people, on Christians and their businesses, their jobs, in their home, their children. Hey, let me say this. It ought not to be. There's no reason why it should happen. Amen? Now, when we're praying, it says watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. And I've been a lot of prayer gatherings. I've prayed a lot of prayer. I've been a lot of them. Okay? Some of them, you'd wish they stop. God wishes they'd stop. Because all they're praying is doubt and unbelief. There's no watching going on. Jesus said, watch and pray. Well, what are we watching for in prayer? We're watching to see what the Father is doing. What does He want done? And we're also watching to see the enemy and what he's doing. You know that there's not one of us here that cannot short-circuit an attack of the enemy at any time and stop it. There's no such thing as the enemy sneaking up. Everything that he can possibly do is already in this book. God's already exposed it. Amen? He's given us the Holy Spirit to show us, to teach us, and to show us things to come. And then he's given us every possible weapon we need when he shows you the attack is there, it's coming. Why would we pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation? See, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard is this. God brings trials on you to teach you something. God brings tribulation on you. He lets you go through the trial. He sets you up for it. And then he goes, Jesus, Matthew chapter 6, pray to the Lord that he lead you not into temptation. That means trial, testing. Come on! It's ridiculous on the face of it. And yet, it's widespread teaching. But I'll guarantee you, the ones who come out with that, they're the ones whose prayer life is zilch. Why did the disciples, the 12, we're going to exclude Judas in this because it was already said he would betray. So we say 11, take John out because John was right there at the cross. He didn't run for cover. Why did the 10 split? When Jesus got taken, he was going to the cross. He was going to die. Why? Jesus came to them and he said, watch and pray. Could you not pray with me for 1 hour? The spirit is willing, but what? The flesh is weak. If they had prayed, they'd all been around that cross. Absolutely. Folks, listen, the most powerful thing we can do. People say, what do I do? What does God want me to do? What should I do? What should do? And they're thinking about works. This, that, feed the poor, minister to the poor, do this, do that. No, the most powerful thing we can do is pray. Amen. Tonight, you're going to pray some prayer. You're going to do some protection praying. Praying boundaries of protection. Now, before we do that, I want you to understand something about timing. And you've heard me say this before. If the Spirit of God impresses you to pray, do it now. Unless he tells you otherwise. Not tomorrow. There's two words for time. Chronos, which is the time that passes. What time is it? 8:15. That's Chronos time. There's Kairos, K, A, I, R, O, S. Kairos time. Kairos. That is the right time to do the right thing. That's Kairos time. And one of the reasons why we watch and pray is we want to hear the Spirit of God say, now's the time. If the Lord impresses upon you to pray, look, I could be here until tomorrow morning. I know you don't want me to. And I can tell you story after story after story over the last 30 years of story about how myself, Priscilla, others that we know had the Spirit of God tell them to intercede for somebody right now. And you pray until you know it's taken care of. And they didn't have the accident they were going to have. They didn't get bit by the rattlesnake that was going to bite them. The thing that was going to happen didn't happen. And they come back and say, oh, the oddest thing happened. It wasn't odd to us. I'm telling you tonight, we need to have a season of intercession for this town. I can't tell you what it is, but I know something is coming, and it isn't good. What? Amen. We don't know what type of we don't know if it's a disease plague, if it's a financial plague, whatever it is. Whatever the plague is, it kills things. See? Now, sometimes we don't need to know all the detail. He knows. But we do need to cooperate with him and pray, because that is part and parcel of his will being done and not the enemy's thing. See? So even in the prayer outline that the Lord gave, do we understand what he's talking about when he says, pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil? Well, you're not praying that because the evil ain't coming. Come on. Oh, I wonder what that happened. Then the devil comes in behind that, and you know what he does? Oh, God did it. Just slanders him. And we sit here in our ignorance and eat it up like a spoon. We ain't eating that anymore. We're spitting it out, and we're getting this thing right. Amen? Oh, gee, I wonder what happened there. What happened is the Spirit of God been trying to get your attention for like a month to pray. How many people in the body of Christ, not just here, but the body of Christ in the 40-mile area, for example, here, this responsibility, okay? How many of them do you think God has spoken to and said, you need to go to that prayer meeting? How about all of them? We prayed boundary lines, Priscilla and I, years ago around our children, where sickness was concerned. And I've told you this before, how when they get together, Joe, who's 35 now, and Dave, who's 33, when we get together, family, Dave always brings it up. Joe had to pick the chicken pox for a minute. I had him for an hour. Wasn't fair. and the rest of the children in town, this was here, Quakertown, the rest of the children in town are in bed for 10 days, home from school, all the rest of it. Praying the protection of the blood of Jesus around, okay, that's not a wish. That's for real. Now, I'll tell you another thing. That human trafficking that goes on up and down 309, we need to put a boundary down a tollgate road up to there, and there's a wall, there's a curtain. No more. In the name of Jesus, no more. And here's the third thing that keeps people from the prayer. Unbelief. Stone cold unbelief. That will keep people from praying. Oh, I don't see what good it's going to do. I don't see what good it's going to do. You say, hey, Brother Thomas is over there. Go join him, please. Who? Brother Thomas. The one who said, I won't believe it till I touch him, till I put my fingers in the holes. That one. Don't be a member of the Thomas Club. Doesn't work. Amen. Now, God leads us. The Spirit of God guides us. The Spirit of God, we are led of the Spirit. We're children of God. We're sons and daughters of God. We're led of the Spirit. And that's key. You're led of the Spirit in, hey, protection, pagah, boundary, draw a boundary line. Devil, you can't go across that line. No. Now, when you say the name of Jesus, you are invoking everything he did at the cross, everything he did in his resurrection, everything. You're invoking all of the power and authority of heaven to back that up. It's not chanting, you know, chanting a name. Peter said, faith in the name of Jesus is what made this man whole. Amen. Let me give you a little overview of praying in the pagah way, okay? I don't know how else to say it. I'm not trying to accomplish an entire doctrine. I'm just trying to cause there to be understanding, and we have a revelation of what we're actually doing and accomplishing in the prayer. It's amazing how much faith begins to work when you realize that. And we have good reports of things happening around town. A new pastor came in at the AG church up near Pennsburg, Lighthouse. And he's begun preaching on the baptism in the Holy Spirit and so forth and so on. Okay? And one of the things, a few years ago, what did we say? Lord, change them or move them. Lord, cause them not to resist a new thing you're doing. Pastor Bruce down there at the Bush House on Tuesdays with the group down there that he shared with us, and there's people being saved and healed right there. And they just come in, they're doing a Bible study with the other Pastor Tom from Bread of Life. Yeah, but that's other churches. Great. Because there has to be the day, and this becomes the key to defeating anything the enemy wants to do in an area, when the pastors and the leaders come together. That's very, very important. Because when they come together and they're in unity, then anything the enemy can do. That's why he wants to constantly do what? Cause division. Keep them separated. Don't let them come together. Oh, no. And he uses anything that he can. Well, we don't believe in tongues. So what? I don't care. Do you believe Jesus? Born again? Fine. Get here. We don't believe in healing. Fine. Get here. I feel bad for them in that they don't, because they're not partaking of what Jesus paid for. They just will stay sick when they don't have to. But I'm not there to pound it over their head. Fine. You don't, you don't. You don't have to worry. You won't ever see the healing. See, that's not what is the important thing. The important thing is, are you naming the name of Jesus? Is Jesus Lord? Then let's get with it. Amen? That's the enemy that uses all that kind of stuff to cause the denominationalism and all the rest of it. This is something that we've been praying and continue to pray. Now, understand something. We're gathering on Tuesday, but you guys are daily prayers. This is not, we come together twice a month, and we're going to have a time of prayer, and that's it. Huh? This is, I'm developing a prayer life, and I'm understanding that as each one of you are in your home, approximately sometime in the morning, that this prayer is still cumulative. Remember the bowl in Revelation? The prayers come up and overflow, mixes with the power of God, and the lightning goes. Hallelujah. We're going to see that day. We're going to see that. We're going to see the lightning of God hit the target. And you're going to see just an explosion of the power of God and salvations. And it's just going to be, we'll all be going, wow. And we'll be the ones that haven't prayed for it. Amen? Now, I'm not giving you an exact prayer to pray. I'm just giving you the contents in a way. You put your words to it. I have an aversion, growing up Catholic, to the Our Father and the Hail Mary, because they taught it and we learned it by rote. And so when you went to confession, you had to do 50 Our Fathers, 25 Hail Marys, and I actually skipped them. I'd go every third. You know, two rosaries. Da, 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 da. Now, what is in this? Our Father, Hail Mary, that fast. And I'm good. Out I go. The whole thing is what? Works. You're paying for your sin with your praying, because that's what it is, penance. You sinned, you have to be punished. So the punishment was praying. And we wonder, you know, can you imagine we're dealing with people all the time, that that's what they got when they were 7, 8, 9 years old. We wonder, where's the problem? The problem is they associate the prayer with the punishment. The pastor stands up and goes, "We're having a prayer meeting," and they go, "Oh no. Pastor, what did we do wrong?" Huh? I thought that. And I said to the priest one time, I'm like 12. I gave it up at like 14. That was it. I had no more of this. I ain't doing this. This is crazy. Walked away. Told my mother, "I'm 14 now. Don't tell me to go to church anymore." Because they packed this off. "Well, then you're going to go to hell." "Well, then, okay. But I'll guarantee you one thing. There ain't going to be any praying in hell." I was right about that. And so I said to the priest, "Why is it always praying?" So he said, "Do three good deeds." I said, "Oh, man." So I come out. I go out in front of the church. Old lady's there. She must have been 80. And I grab her, and I'm helping her across the street. We're like three quarters away. She goes, "I don't want to cross the street." I'm like, "Does this count anyway?" I said, "Well, how about let me take you over there and I'll bring you back?" "That's two." Children. See? Sometimes we have to stop a second and realize they don't think the way we think. First, whoever it is that you want to have God have a meeting with, "Father, I bring," whoever it is, Joe who we prayed salvation with, and he called me the other day at Starbucks, and he asked me, listen to this. He is divorced from his wife. And so I was sharing with them, and you got pretty much the story as it went. And so he invited Priscilla and I out for dinner that Saturday night, and Lord said, "Go and close the deal." So we went out, and he had somebody with him, shared a little more, said, "How about we pray?" Yeah, okay, we'll pray. So we prayed. He received Jesus. And then I gave him a book to read, and no, it wasn't entitled "Now That You're a Christian and Have 10 Rules." It's a book about who he is, that he's in Christ Jesus. Little book. He said, "I can't read any big books." So I showed him the little book. He goes, "I can read that." I said, "Cool, here." So he calls me the other day, and he says, "I have to ask you. I need some advice." I said, "What?" He says, "I'm having dinner with my ex-wife. She called and asked if we can go out to dinner." I'm like, that's pretty cool. Well, I didn't tell him that because he's petrified. What do I say to her? He goes, "I think she's going to want to get back together." I still didn't say anything. And so finally, he comes out with it. She wants me to answer a question of why it was so mean to her when we were married. I said, "Did you know you were?" He goes, "Not all the time." I said, "Was she mean to you?" He said, "Yeah." And so I told them, "You have unforgiveness. It started a long time ago." "Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense," and so forth. So, praise the Lord, he's having dinner a couple nights from now and all of that. So pray for Joe the biker. Amen? He lives in Quakertown. He has a business in Quakertown. He could possibly, God could use him significantly. Like he can use anybody. But this is a guy, he got at least 10 other people in there to pay attention. He's like the lady that was at the well who went into the city and got the whole city to come out to hear Jesus when he got there. Pray, Father, I bring Joe the biker before you. I bring him to you. Create a meeting, a paga between him and you. Amen? That's the first aspect. Lord, I ask you to protect from any trap of Satan that he has set. I build a boundary of protection around them. That's the boundary of protection. Okay? Now, I didn't get into this fully, but God has also called us to carry another's burden. He doesn't mean that we take their problem on us. He's talking about we pray so that problem or burden is removed from them. Another aspect of paga. See? To carry away the problem. To help them lift it off them. Amen? How many of you had people say, pray for me? You go, what am I going to pray? This is what you're going to pray. You're going to pray this way. Amen? Now, meeting with the enemy, you're binding Satan. You're taking authority. You are breaking that person out of his hold and his grip. Remember Paul on the road? God said, open their eyes. Take them out from under the authority of Satan and under the authority of God. Take them out of the darkness into the light. And Paul did that first by all those prayers that are recorded in there that he prayed. God told them to open their eyes. What did he pray in Ephesians chapter 1? Lord, I pray their eyes be enlightened. Amen. See, the challenge right now, okay, we're going to get into the praying. We are. You're going to get into it in a daily thing. But one of the challenges right now is to pray for the body to get a revelation of prayer. Amen. Get them out. Get them out of it. And then, most importantly, in Jesus' name. And when you say in Jesus' name, okay, it's everything. It's based on what Jesus has accomplished. It's based on everything that he did when you say Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, you're answering these prayers of ours, and you're moving on them because of what Jesus did. The saints of old, Pastor Duché and them, that prayed in the late 1700s in Philly area, William Penn and some of the others, their prayers are recorded. They used to close the prayer, in the name of Jesus and his merits, on the merits of the Lord Jesus. Lord, you've heard this prayer on the merits of the Lord Jesus. See, 200 years ago, they understood. Amen. Are we ready? Every one of you have somebody, one or more. Amen. You're praying for, you're interceding for. Okay. Let's go ahead and pray all three. The meeting, the boundaries, the protection, and break them away from the enemy. A lot of good stuff is happening in the area. Amen. You could stand, you could sit, you could do whatever it is. Amen. I'm going to start you off, and we're going to pray.